Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
From the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
The Biden administration allowed the United Nations Security Council to pass a resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza through the final 2 weeks of Ramadan.
The final text does not have key language that we think is essential, such as condemning Hamas. We couldn't support it. Though, because it does fairly reflect our view that a ceasefire and the release of hostages come together, we abstained.
So we were the one abstaining on that. So as 14 voted for it in the UN Security Council, one abstained, but we didn't veto it, which we have the power to do, and we've always done in the past. It was a resolution telling Israel they got to stop without condemning Hamas for the attacks and without telling Hamas they need to let the hostages go.
Awful.
And a lot of people are making a really big deal about this, that this is like one of the bigger breaks in recent memory at the UN anyway, the United States and Israel.
Before we get into the substance of it, I don't know why my heart hurts when I hear John Kirby trying to defend the indefensible.
Right.
Because I think he's a good man. When I hear KJP spouting her nonsense or Jen Psaki back in the day or whomever, I just think, wow, what an odd job it is to get up there and just spout bull hockey. But John Kirby, I think it hurts him in his soul.
I would agree. So this from Richard Goldberg in the New York Post, bring them home. As Joe Biden has said many times, including at the State of the Union the other night, bring them home with everybody standing and cheering. Bring them home or not. Biden just sold out Israeli hostages at the United Nations. President Biden cleared the way Monday for the United Nations Security Council to adopt a resolution demanding Israel suspend its counterterrorism operations without conditioning any ceasefire on the release of Israeli hostages. Combined with a pressure campaign to deter Israel from dismantling Hamas's last stronghold, Biden's signal to the terror group is clear. Keep terrorizing and holding hostages because America is pressing Israel to stop the war. We are a permanent Security Council member. We can veto any resolution, and we usually do, which is one of the reasons Israel cares so much about what we have to say. Because we're the ones there protecting them at the Security Council. The UN regularly blasts Israel for all kinds of things and gives a free pass to any of their enemies. But we usually stand up for Israel in those votes. China and Russia used their veto powers Friday to block an American proposed resolution that condemned Hamas as a terrorist organization along with because of the massacre, denounced Houthi attacks, and said that they got to give back the hostages. But China and Russia stood up for their side and vetoed that. Beijing and Moscow, reading this opinion piece again, Beijing and Moscow didn't care that the Biden administration's proposed resolution was already hostile toward Israel, opposing military action. China and Russia could not tolerate a resolution that condemned a terror proxy of Iran, and nothing short of a pathway to Hamas survival would ever win their support. But rather than wage political warfare on China and Russia for defending Hamas, we just caved. We just rewrote it, took out the stuff that China and Russia hated, and then didn't veto the new version. I find that quite amazing, and then I'll read one more thing and shut up. David Friedman, who used to be the ambassador to Israel, tweeted this out after the vote yesterday. Iran and Hamas are literally taking a victory lap in Tehran, celebrating the U.S. break with Israel at the U.N. Hamas now confidently rejecting all proposed deals for freeing the hostages. The diplomatic malpractice being committed by the Biden administration is breathtaking. That's a former ambassador to Israel.
And other than, to my mind, phony arguments that they're taking a moral stand, have you heard anything that would dissuade you from thinking it's all about winning back the Arab vote in Michigan and buying off young voters?
Yeah, when the vote came down yesterday, we were talking about, I'm hoping that it's a, you get to call off the dogs, which is a lot of the world that doesn't support Israel going as hardcore as they do. You get to act like you're bothered by it, but continue to support Israel in reality.
Right, yeah, you get it both ways.
You get it both ways, but man, I don't know. China and Russia don't seem to care about getting it both ways.
Oh,
they just want it their way.
No, they just want victory.
And stuck to their guns. We did not.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. For, well, it's, you know, if I were to say anything in the defense of the Biden administration, this isn't really, this is, I'm putting on my political scientist hat here. I'm just saying that this is one of the weaknesses or complications of having a democracy, an elected government.
Right.
They have to at least genuflect in the direction of the will of their block of voters, in this case, young people and or Muslims. And I get that. Well, I think it's ugly and terrible and undermines a valued ally, but I get it.
I would buy that argument if it was a bigger chunk, but the polls show there's overwhelming support in the United States, even in the Democratic Party for Israel. So they're abandoning Israel at the UN just for a tiny chunk of young woke college kids.
Well, the word is going around, and for some reason I have trouble believing it. Maybe I'm clinging to my childish notions of the president and the White House being above just dopiness, but it's pretty well established that the young, woke, activist aides in the White House are running the place.
Right.
Including some of the older woke activist aides, but they have outsized power. And the old man, goodness knows, I don't think he has any principles, number one. Number two, he's too old and addled to stand up for those that may still exist.
It's like we were talking about before with the whole 75% of Americans are perfectly fine with the term illegal immigrant. He'd be in completely solid ground to say, yeah, I called the guy an illegal. What about it? I mean, that's an electoral win if he wants to get elected president. I think it's the same thing here. Supporting Israel is an electoral win.
My final thought is the reason I get so fired up about this stuff, and it reminds me so much of a couple of cases through the years where a homeowner comes upon an intruder in the dark and defends themselves and their loved ones with deadly force. And then a jury sitting there in air-conditioned comfort in some county courthouse says, no, you should have asked them to leave first. Or you could have retreated, I suppose, or tried to punch them a few times before you defended your life and that of your wife and children. So, yes, you're a murderer. You're guilty of murder. And I go crazy when those cases are decided that way. And this is similar. People not fighting for their very existence, rubbing their chins and advising someone who is on what they should have done or could have done. No, you defending your country, which is under actual threat of not existing anymore, you've gone too far. That's too ugly. I don't like to watch that. That is making me sad. So you need to stop that. Now, if somebody has an honestly held opinion that Israel's going too far, they could be doing it another way and still be perfectly successful, I am willing to listen to that opinion, of course. But if it's just the, I don't want to watch this, it's too ugly, then I have no time for you.
After you saying that, it really makes me think the United States not fighting for a resolution that says, wait, we're not given a yes vote or even a non-veto unless it includes October 7th was horrible. You can't do that. That's right. Not all right. And you got to give the hostages back. Those aren't crazy things to get in there. And we allowed that to be both of those things to be taken out and didn't vote. That's awful.
More weak leadership out of the White House. That's surprising.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of hypocrisy and fake principles, about a week after the U.S. and other Western countries froze their funding for that UNRWA UN agency, the one that is Hamas's pipeline for cash and the reason Hamas's leaders are all billionaires. So we and other Western countries froze our funding. Well, various Palestinian heavyweights went calling to the Arab monarchies, their brethren in the region, said, hey, we need funding for this UNRWA. And they came up with $85 million from Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and United Arab Emirates, which is a fraction of what John Rahm was paid to go play for the LIV Golf Tour, for instance.
Right, yeah,
a
that's fraction, not much money.
Please. Phil Mickelson got quadruple that to go swing his golf clubs for the Saudis. Anyway, it's worth pointing out that the $85 million they got measures up rather poorly to last year when the U.S. alone gave UNRWA more than $422 million.
Wow.
Doing some quick math, that would be like quintuple the amount all of the Arab/Muslim monarchies kicked in for the poor Palestinian
people. God, that's so left out of this story by mainstream media all the time. The Arab countries do not care near as much as some college kid at the University of Michigan does about the Palestinians.
In fact, to the contrary, they have said over and over again, Egypt, Lebanon, and others, where was it? Saddam invaded
Iran?
Gulf War One.
Oh, Kuwait.
Kuwait, that's right. Yeah. All of those countries said, no way we're taking bunches of Palestinian refugees because everybody who takes them ends up with a revolution. Witness Beirut back in the day, torn asunder by all these competing groups. Nobody wants these people in their country, and they've got no money for them either. You know, put that in your pot, pipe, and smoke it, college students in Michigan.
Yeah. So we're keeping our eye on P. Diddy. Why did both of his homes get raided by feds last night? We're keeping an eye on this big giant ship that crashed into a bridge in Baltimore. A whole bunch of cars plunged into the water, and some of them are still there. That ain't good. What happened? Why'd that ship run into the bridge like that?
And coming up, a couple of notes from the diseased world of social media worth taking note of.
Oh, boy. I had a great conversation about that last night with people who know about the brain who are worried about where we're all going.
Hmm.
Anyway, lots to talk about. Stay here.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian premium cocktail maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Rap words for 600.
Used as an interjection in trap music, this vowel-less word conveys the sound of tires screeching. Michael.
What is skirt?
Yes. Well said.
What? This vowel-less word? Tires screeching? What?
The category was rap words for 600. Go ahead and play it again, Michael.
Rap words for 600.
Used as an interjection in trap music, this vowel-less word conveys the sound of tires screeching. Michael.
What is skirt?
Yes.
Okay. I guess I just don't know that.
Trap music, which is apparently a thing. That is the current state of Jeopardy, folks. The formerly vaunted You Had to Be Really Smart to Win show. Anyway, we've been discussing an absolutely fabulous essay by Ted Gioia, I think is his name, who's pointing out that we've gone from a learning culture to an entertainment culture, but now it's gotten much worse than just entertaining ourselves to death. Now we're just occupying ourselves and getting tiny little doses of endorphins over and over again as we watch 10-second videos.
Yeah, as he said, dopamine culture has replaced entertainment culture, and it's actually worse. I mean, all the talk when we were younger, even like people older than us were younger, television rotting your brain and music on the radio. He spends all his time listening to music on the radio. It's ruining his brain. But I watched quite a bit of TV at various parts of my life. I never felt it making it difficult for me to read a book.
Nor watch a 2-hour movie, for instance.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Well, in Gilligan's Island is Shakespeare compared to a 10-second video of some guy getting hit in the crotch. I mean, come on.
Right. Even so, I was actually having this conversation with somebody yesterday, but like, even a 30-minute sitcom has some value compared to a lot of the crap that I look at now. I mean, it has zero value. I mean, there is at least something in there about human relationships or humor or something happened there. But nothing happens in a lot of the stuff you watch online, but you get the tiny little dopamine hit that keeps you going.
And most insidious and really kind of most, the thing which indicates to me most strongly what we're looking at here is that you eventually just have to get those hits of endorphins to feel normal. It's absolutely your typical addiction thing. Heroin addicts don't take heroin to get high. After a very short time, they take heroin to avoid being sick.
Oh, that's awful.
Anyway, we got this note from Eric in Texas. Guys like you, I'd like to see TikTok banned. Initially, it was because of the insidious incursion of the communist Chinese into the minds of our citizens, young and old. However, while in a drive-thru last night, I witnessed an even more important reason to ban it, the challenges. As I waited in line for my daughter's beverage, the teenager in front of us took his drink from the takeout window and chucked it into the parking lot. After a few seconds, he was given another one, then he chucked that one as well. Then he drove away. My wife informed me that it was the newest TikTok challenge. Apparently, people are doing this at 7-Elevens, especially chucking their Slurpees into the parking lot for the employees to clean up. The punchline of all this is that the young man in front of us immediately got back in the drive-through line because his passenger forgot to film him.
Yeah.
So best of all, my 12-year-old daughter thought the whole thing was stupid, so there may be hope for us yet. Well said, Eric.
There's that side of it, which is, you know, slightly different than our brains are getting ruined by dopamine hits.
Sure.
Just the cultural degradation that this is causing. And now I really sound like an old person. Jazz music is ruining children, they said in the 20s. It wasn't. And television didn't ruin us quite the same way they thought it might. And seeing Elvis dance on TV or whatever. But this one, I think, is actually ruining us because I can feel it myself.
Well, in a related story, Ron DeSantis, who I think would have made a hell of a good president, has just signed a law that Florida passed banning social media for minors under 14 and demanding parental consent for 14 or 15-year-olds.
Is there any enforcement mechanism for that?
That's the rub with all of these things. Under the new law, social media companies are required to close accounts believed to be used by minors under 14.
Oh, that's a
the
tough
platforms
one.
Must also cancel accounts at the requests of parents or minors, and all information from the accounts must be deleted. Excuse me. Minors who are 14 or 15 can obtain a social media account with parental consent, according to the new law. I don't know how enforceable this is or how clever kids will be in getting around it. Pretty clever is my guess. On the other hand, the fact that we're having the discussion, I think, is useful.
Oh, absolutely.
Somebody might hear, wait a minute, states are outlawing it for kids my age? I wonder why.
I'll tell you the direction we're clearly going is, and the sooner the better, can't happen fast enough, where we all start to look at this scrolling and watching TikTok videos or whatever, the way we looked at cigarettes at a certain point, where it's just bad, 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 bad. You get the message it's bad all day long, every day, starting as a little kid, and just gets in your head it's bad. That's our only hope for this.
You know, when was the last time you heard somebody actually use the term couch potato? You remember when that was a term of derision? Somebody who just stared at the TV sitting on their couch all day long? I'm not in favor of cruelty, but if we can come up with a couple of clever, you know, shots at people who are constantly staring at screens instead of relating to the human beings around them, I would be in favor of that.
Yeah, that's the direction we're headed. I really think so. Some media critique coming up that I think you'll find interesting.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
So this happened in the dead of night.
Video captures the terrifying moment a container cargo ship plowed into a massive column supporting the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. Moments later, you can see flames and thick plumes of smoke coming from the ship. Then the section of the bridge starts to crumble before collapsing into the Patapsco River below.
The entire Key Bridge in the harbor.
The Baltimore City Police Department said only part of the 1.6-mile-long bridge collapsed. Video shows multiple cars driving on the bridge at the time. They could not confirm how many, but did say there was at least one the size of a tractor trailer.
They were workers. That was their vehicles. They were pouring concrete.
Okay, so a giant container ship crashes into a bridge in Baltimore. It sure looked like, okay, the entire bridge didn't collapse? Okay, fine, but sure looks like most of it. What do you mean the entire bridge didn't collapse? It's like from there to there.
I missed that. I heard somebody say the entire bridge is in the bay. Or the river or whatever. But anyway, it might as well be.
Anyway, that was the CBS version. I've got some more details on that, but this is the CNN version of the story.
These first minutes of daylight are giving us a really surreal look at this rescue operation, this urgent search that officials have had to carry out here over the last few hours. Sonar picking up that there are vehicles in the water that came down off the Key Bridge when it collapsed early this morning. And as we push in on that container ship, those are chunks of the Key Bridge mangled in the water, at least one of them strewn across the deck of that ship that's still sitting there in the river as rescuers are around it trying to find anyone who might be alive in the water.
Oh, boy, that's rough. But so a couple of comments that I came across on Twitter from somebody that knows about this sort of thing. I've already heard a couple of talking heads say something really stupid, so let's clear it up. There isn't a bridge ever made anywhere that can withstand a 300-meter, 95,000-ton container ship slamming into a support without major damage or a complete collapse. The force you're talking about is immense. I'm sure it is.
Wow. So, yeah, we actually have essentially the same testimony from a listener who's a career mariner. So it'll be interesting to see what wild and idiotic claims are made on, you know, social media today about it. But back to you.
And the crew is still on that bridge, apparently. So they'll be able to talk to them. And as you
on
heard
the on, ship, you mean?
On the bridge of the ship, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. You got a bridge on the bridge.
That's true. Yeah, you can't say bridge of the ship when you crash into a bridge. That's just...
Let's go with pilot house or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the crew is still on the ship. And I'm surprised we haven't heard already, but like... Because somebody suggested earlier the power went out so they couldn't steer it and it ran into the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be an explanation. Be a better explanation than, you know, I was texting my girlfriend and scrolling through Twitter. Crashed into the bridge.
The U.S. Coast Guard is saying footage posted online indicates the vessel had some mechanical issues just before hitting the bridge. Lights on the vessel can be seen going dark, coming on, then going out again just before the vessel hit the support column. And our mariner friend said, yeah, absolutely, it lost power somehow.
But how long before it hit the bridge, I wonder, just from a human emotion standpoint? Because those things are famously slow to turn. I mean, if you're going to turn a little bit that way, you got to start like 3 miles ahead of time in your turn. So when did the power go out, and how long were all those people on that ship scrambling around? We got to get the power back on. Jeez, oh my God. You know, how long was that going on? Was it going on for like 30 seconds or more, for like 30 minutes? I wonder.
I think it was probably closer to a minute, but our friend here says that all mariners call the same thing an OS moment.
Yeah. Well, I don't know anything about what I'm talking about. I'm just guessing here, but it has to be longer than a minute, doesn't it? It couldn't have been, from whatever I've seen in movies and documentaries about turning these things, it couldn't have been just a minute that they needed to turn that thing. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, that would have been an OS minute.
Yeah.
95,000 ton container ship. And you're not going to turn that very fast.
Yeah, the amount of energy is incomprehensible of that much mass moving at any speed. So anyway, we certainly hope they can rescue as many people as possible and reduce the, you know, human cost of
this. And you're driving across a bridge lightly trafficked in the middle of the night. There's like, you know, then all of a sudden you're toppling into the water. Take a while to comprehend that.
If you
comprehended it at all, yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez,
yeah,
what an terrible, awful situation.
Speaking of infrastructure problems, I found it so interesting. The Wall Street Journal was talking about a topic that I've been curious about. I, Joe Getty, am a bit of a real estate hobbyist. I was involved in the real estate business, and for some reason, I just find it fascinating how values rise and fall and trading happens and are affected by various things. I don't know why. It intrigues me. But I've been looking at commercial real estate with the pandemic and then the great abandonment of the American office in favor of remote work, at least to a significant extent, and just people reappraising their lives, all the working age men who are not working, just all sorts of downward pressures on commercial real estate, particularly in cities. Oh, well, including that some of them are so filthy and dangerous, nobody wants to go into them anymore. San Francisco. Anyway.
Well, I wonder if, since I'm shopping for a house and houses are so expensive, would it be cheaper to buy a place that used to be a Hobby Lobby and just live in there? In a strip mall?
If you could escape detection, What an interesting idea.
I'll bet it would be cheaper. Just live in some place that used to be a tanning salon or something. That went out.
Well, yeah, I was going to say a Hobby Lobby would probably be pretty expensive, but a tanning salon? Probably still got the beds in there, put a mattress on there.
This used to be a karate studio or a yogurt place. Fine.
Occasionally people would wander in looking for jujitsu lessons while you're trying to eat breakfast, but that's all right. It's no big deal. You meet for
new Do this with your leg.
Yeah. So anyway, I reached out to a friend in commercial real estate several months ago, and I said, hey, how are things looking? And he said, they're still actually looking pretty good. But then this article comes out in the Wall Street Journal. The office market is in turmoil, so why are rents more expensive? Rents have not been coming down for commercial real estate.
Okay.
This is the perfect example. I know. It does not at all. This is the perfect example of you need to know a little more than a little to understand what's happening. And here is the story. Higher asking price. All right. Let me approach it like this. How much is a commercial building worth, Jack? How much is it worth? Essentially,
whatever they can get in terms of rent.
You're a savant. It's essentially the square footage times the rent you can get for the square footage. That's the valuation of that building. Well, higher asking prices are a reflection of the seemingly oddball way the commercial real estate market works. Rents are a critical metric used by lenders and others to determine the value of a property. Owners will do everything they can to avoid cutting them, even if it means keeping space vacant, because the rental prices deter prospective tenants.
Wow, of course. Yeah, that's interesting and obvious. Obvious once you hear it, but yeah. No. If I lower all the rents, my building, if I cut my rent in half for everybody, my building's worth half as much.
And the reason that matters is what follows, quoting the Wall Street Journal. Landlords who cut rents significantly to fill empty space, quote, would significantly reduce the appraised value of their buildings, according to this consultant. They quote,
should get Donald J. Trump involved in this evaluating the worth of a building story.
I'm sure he could explain it at length, even if the values were slightly inflated. quote, this in turn could lead to a covenant default on their loans, or at minimum would make it harder for them to refinance. Office rents are expected to eventually tumble, probably after owners and lenders are forced to restructure mortgages or sell distressed properties.
Wow.
In other words, we are standing on a cliff with 1 foot off of it.
Right. So they're holding on for dear life, hoping something changes in the world that renters start coming back in at the amounts that they were charging before. But if it doesn't happen, obviously it can't go on forever.
Right.
The rent is too damn high.
Wow.
That's a good point, sir.
And then rent's going to just go, yeah, go off a cliff. It's just going to be
crater.
So cheap. Because if I'm wanting to open my karate studio yogurt shop, it's going to be karate. Going to teach karate over here. You're going to have yogurt, soft serve yogurt here.
You want to cool off after all that karateing. Sure.
And then they'll do your nails over there. You sit in that chair, they'll do your nails.
Right, I chipped them, chopping you in the neck. I love it.
Anyway, so I come to your strip mall and say, I'll give you $50 a square foot or whatever it is. They'll say, no way. Okay, I'll go over to that strip mall or that one or that one or that one over there.
There was a strip mall near our house that was 3/4 empty for the longest time. And I asked somebody, why don't they lower the rents? And I think my eyes glazed over as they were trying to explain it to me. But now I get it. A couple more quick notes. For now, landlords are trying to justify the elevated levels by lavishing new tenants with expensive interior buildouts, months of free occupancy, and other incentives. Like this one guy says, I've heard of a year of rent free in return for a 10-year lease. He said, the most I've ever heard of before is 1 month for every 2 years.
Wow, a year free for a 10-year lease. Wow.
Now, getting back to my friend Al Anonymous, who is involved in commercial real estate. Remember, it was several months ago. He said, things are actually looking pretty good so far. Well, he says, things are getting interesting for sure. Leasing demand is down, and most developers who broke ground in the last 3 years are competing with historically high vacancy rates and a massive supply of sublease space that's undercutting the market and putting downward pressure on rents. This, coupled with high interest rates, is driving exit cap rates higher. That's the values you're talking about. To a point where there's no equity in many of these buildings anymore. And as more and more buildings go back to the banks, the new landlords will have significantly lower basis in the buildings and can do cheaper deals and continue to drive rents lower. Pretty bad spiral.
God,
interest rates
say.
Need to stabilize or there's going to be more carnage.
So we haven't even seen the spiral yet for commercial real estate.
No, it's still those artificially inflated rents to try to get one more round of financing, for instance.
Wow.
But that's all going to
Okay, well, that explains it, because I've wondered, too, why there are so many empty buildings, and that just it hasn't gotten down to the part, to the point where, like, if you've got, I don't know, you're having a yard sale, you go out and rent that commercial space, they're giving it away,
right.
But they aren't yet.
Right, yeah. And plus, I'm also told that there are tax reasons you might want to go ahead and take the loss on one property while you're making profit over here. But that's consult your local tax professional. So that could go crazy within the next year to three.
So at my place, you can get your nails did, get some soft serve yogurt. I got the toppings. I got some fruit. I got some M&Ms. I got some crumbled up peanut butter cups.
Everybody loves that.
And then over there, you learn a little karate.
Yeah. I'm thinking I'm going to go with bike repair, massage, but legitimate massage.
Oh, so you say. Why is it open all night?
And let's see. What do we need, Michael? One more. Smoothies, fruit smoothies.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Maybe classic vinyl records. That's a good one. Why did they get so angry at NBC over hiring a new pundit? Well, we can explain that to you. Stay tuned.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit BARTESIAN.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian. Premium cocktails on demand.
Quick thing before we get to a late night joke off, which we really love the late night joke off. One of the smartest real estate people I've ever come across texted me about that commercial real estate conversation you were having.
Mm-hmm.
They estimate around $2 trillion in the next 18 months in real estate holdings could potentially go back to the banks or be at risk for default, $5 to $8 trillion in the next 4 years.
That's too high a number to comprehend. It's enormous, obviously.
That sounds like wreck the world levels of numbers.
And I am far from an expert in this, but I would hesitate to sign a long-term commercial lease.
Well, what
I think prices could be dropping out of a window like a Russian dissident.
Well, and then what does it do to other real estate, too? Just before the banks, there's all kinds of people going to be in trouble.
I like your idea of buying an old Hobby Lobby, an empty Hobby Lobby. I'd put a chipping area and a putting green in there.
But this is an example to me everything's cruising along and the stock market's setting records every single day and everybody's reporting about we got the best economy in the world. I can see just a tremendous collapse and everybody saying,
oh
yeah, all those empty strip malls everywhere. I guess at some point I was going to have to get dealt with somehow. And everybody thinking, yeah, of course there was going to be a giant collapse started by the commercial real estate end. And
now it just scared everything with it. Quit it. Quit it.
$8 trillion over the next 4 years? That is going to have ripple upon ripple upon ripple. It might affect Mars. Good Lord. Yeah, now I'm frightened.
There could be an upside for American business in general if rents plunge. I mean, I don't want to be owning a building right now or be a bank with trillions of dollars in, bank failures.
Uh-oh. Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's
just thought it through.
Both ends of the deal on a $8 trillion disappearing. Anyway.
Enough gloom, doom. It's time for a late night joke off. We've found three of the late night alleged comedians making a joke about the same topic. We will play them. I, Joe Getty, will grade them. The bottom grade getter will be banned from comedy for life. Let's hear them, Michael.
Today, the CEO of Boeing stepped down. Either that, or they never installed the bolts that keep him in the boardroom. He just blew out. This guy, yeah! But they had to do something. Things have gotten so bad for the company that nervous travelers are changing their flights to avoid Boeing airplanes. I'm sorry, but there is no way to avoid Boeing airplanes. Even if you're just walking down the street, their doors come to you. On the way out.
Amid the ongoing safety investigations, Boeing announced that its CEO is stepping down. Well, don't let the blown out door hit you on the way out, you know? And get this, some travelers are actually changing their flights to avoid being on Boeing airplanes. Well, that's bad when parents airplane food into their kids' mouths. They're like, stop freaking out. It's not a Boeing. It's just broccoli.
There it comes. Boeing today announced that three of its senior executives are stepping down, or to put it in Boeing terms, they were sucked out.
Wow. So interestingly, Colbert had a B+, and as he continued his riff, he turned it into an A.
That was good. He made me laugh with that.
Fallon had a B+, and he turned it into a C- with his incomprehensible,
right.
Here comes the airplane while you're feeding your toddler riff.
I guess. I didn't quite get it.
Hard to follow. Myers with a solid A there. I thought that was a funny joke. So I guess Fallon, in spite of the fact that he's very talented and seems like a fine fella, he is banned from comedy for life.
I still think this has got to be the sort of thing they're studying in MBA programs in terms of damage control for a major company. I mean, when all the late night comics are making those kind of jokes and it's just become like a never ending meme, how do you turn that around?
And as a guy who has run precisely zero airplane manufacturers in my professional life, I was wondering, how hard is this to fix? Can you simply install a director of quality control who checks every airplane real carefully? Or what's the deal here? Everything I read says this is going to be an enormously difficult task that goes to the very culture of every level of the corporation.
Huh. That'll be interesting. Speaking of MBA programs, that'll be interesting to learn about over time. If that's true, how did it happen, month by month, year by year, mm-hmm. to where their quality got so low? I always just think of the PR end of it. You can fix that pretty fast. Get a non-dope to come up with what you're going to say. I mean, that clip we played last week of the CEO trying to explain problems, I was like,
we had a quality escape.
Stop shoveling, man. You're in a hole.
Yeah, and I hate the idea that one of the great American corporations gets a rep around the world as churning out poor quality. We don't want that as a country.
No.
Not to mention the whole plunging out of the sky issue, which hasn't really happened, but
no, not much. What would you even say that? They haven't plunged out of the sky. That was an awful thing to say.
Armstrong and Getty.
Got menopause? We've got you. Hi. Jackie here, founder of ExoJackie. Feel supported throughout your menopause journey and beyond with our organic protein powders and symptom relief boosts. Formulated to keep bones and muscles strong, ExoJackie products help reduce bloating, hot flashes, and weight gain. Enjoy 20% off with promo code EXOPODCAST. Shop now at ExoJackie.com. Made for women by women.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com. /compatibility.